looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, Teststrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And it's not like he's going nine innings. Those strikeouts are in seven.
Six. Could do it here. Devers crossed the diamond in time to get him, and the Red Sox win again. Make it eight in a row for the Boston Red Sox. They knock off the Texas Rangers here tonight. Final score, TC, 8-4.
So Red Sox win another one, but before I even get to that, I have a major announcement to make. Major announcement. Okay, before we even get to that, if you're driving home in your car, listen up. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, has been out the last couple of days. He'll probably be out for the balance of the week. Actually, yeah, you know what, Billy? Hit the breaking news sounder if you would.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, generally that means I'm supposed to read it, but I don't have the information.
No, that's right. You don't, Marshall.
So I'll cede the floor back to you.
Correct. So just shut up.
Oh, come on now.
So what we'll tell you is that Jimmy Stewart, our producer, has been out the last couple of days. He'll be out for the balance of the week. It was an unexpected absence for Jimmy. And the reason is, he is now a father. Jimmy Stewart is now a father. I am happy to report that at 10:02 this morning, Willow Ruby Stewart entered the world. She's 19 and a half inches long, 6 pounds, 15 ounces. So congratulations to Jimmy Stewart, our producer here on the Felger Mouth Show, and on the Baseball Reporters, and to his wife, Randy. They are now parents, and so good for them. As I said, I had this discussion with Theo Epstein once.
Yeah.
Marshall, I'll make this quick.
Yes.
We were in Tampa Bay.
Lovely place.
Theo was in the dugout. I was standing right by there. And he said something to the effect of, you know, being the GM of your hometown team isn't what it's cracked up to be. And I said, Theo, I got news for you, pal. Nothing in life is what it's cracked up to be. And he said, that is the most cynical thing I've ever heard you say. And I said, you know what? I take it back. Parenthood is what it's cracked up to be. Parenthood is. Everything else, no go. So congratulations to Jimmy Stewart and his wife, Randy, and to their new baby girl. And so we wish them nothing but the best here in the coming days, weeks, months, and obviously years. 617-779-0985. We began the Baseball Reportage tonight by playing you a highlight. The final out from last night's game. Red Sox win 8 in a row. They are now 3.5 games up in the American League East. 2 in the loss column, 64-29. They are 35 games over 500, on pace for basically 112 wins. And I have told you, and I will continue to tell you, that this is nothing more than a systematic, methodical march through the sludge that is the American League in 2018. And many of you get angry when I say that I'm not giving the Red Sox enough credit. So you know what? Tonight, because I'm in a good mood, and because Jimmy's now a dad, I am going to tell you that the Red Sox deserve some credit for this.
Oh, boy.
Okay, they deserve some credit for this. And here is why. Okay, let me tell you specifically why they deserve credit for it. Because last night in Baltimore, this happened.
Pitch. Hit on the ground at first and off the glove of Bird. The game is over. Baltimore wins. Scoring is Caleb Jofus. As a hot ground ball went off the glove of Bird to right field. In the inning, one run, two hits, and three left. And the final in Baltimore, the Orioles 6, the Yankees 5. And we're back with more in a moment on the WFAN New York Yankees radio network, driven by Jeep.
So I do. I love the ending of that because it's like, you know, John Sterling is so unconcerned about the loss to the Orioles. Yeah, he gets a sponsor at the end. Is there a play-by-play guy who could sound less emotional about a loss in the final pitch of the game than John Sterling did right there? Let me make sure I get the sponsor and I get stuff to do.
He can't get the name of the guy that got the hit right, but he gets the name of the sponsor right.
Okay.
Well done him.
So again.
Driven by Jeep.
Driven by Jeep. 617-779-0985. The Yankees this season, first of all, they've lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. Marshall, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're playing again tonight, right?
Yeah. Because
they played a doubleheader on the first day of the series.
Yep.
The Yankees have lost 2 out of 3 to Baltimore. Not too long ago, they get swept by Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay doesn't qualify as a bad team anymore, but the Red Sox have really done well against these teams this year. And so if you are driving home as a Red Sox fan, here is what I would tell you. This is something to be proud of, and I will acknowledge this. A lot of people keep calling this program and telling me the Red Sox are beating the teams they're supposed to beat, and they are. The Yankees aren't. And look, I would love to see the Red Sox do better against the good competition. There is a chance that even if they lose the head-to-head to the Yankees, and I believe that the winner of that head-to-head with New York will ultimately win the division, but with the way things are going, it might not matter. And this is why. New York this season right now is 4-5 against the Orioles. And going into tonight or going into today, the Orioles had the worst record in baseball. Believe it or not, they're a half game worse than the Kansas City Royals, which should tell you something. Because that Kansas City team is absolutely god-awful. And Baltimore is worse. Right now, the Orioles have the number one pick in the draft. The Yankees, 4-5 against the Orioles. Meanwhile, they're just 5-4 against Tampa Bay. Okay, so that's 9-9 against those two teams. You know what the Red Sox are against those two clubs? 18-5.
I was going to say, very good.
And remember, this is now, so 18-5 for the Red Sox versus 9-9 for the Yankees. I mean, that's a huge difference.
And, you know, we've spent much of the week in...
Marshall, I'm just going to say, hang on 1 second. Hang on 1 second. Don't go anywhere, because I want to give you the rest of the numbers, because they're important. Okay, they're important. Remember that Major League Baseball has an unbalanced schedule. Okay, unbalanced. I think the Red Sox play 76 games in the division. They play 19 with New York. Right now, the Yankees lead that 5-4. Okay, they still have 10 left. Take those games out of it for a minute. In the division, against Toronto, Tampa, and Baltimore, the Red Sox are 25-7. The Yankees are 18-13. You know what difference that is in the standings? 6.5 games. So in the division, the Red Sox are 6.5 games better than the Yankees, and that is going to effectively be a third of their season. At the current pace, the Red Sox will beat the Yankees against those three teams by 11 games. 11 games. The Red Sox are 25-7. The Yankees are 18-13. If that continues on its current track and the Red Sox take care of business and the Yankees don't, the gap between them just in the division could be 11 games. And if it's 11 games, the Yankees aren't going to make that up head-to-head, Marshall. They're not going to make that up the rest of the time. The head-to-head games may not matter. The Red Sox may win the division just by taking care of business. So if you want to look for something to be proud of for the Red Sox and give them credit for something, it is the workmanlike approach that they are dispatching these bad teams in the division. They are cleaning up on these clowns. Now, I'm sorry, Marshall. Go ahead.
Well, our prime criticism of the Red Sox and why, Big Jim and a lot of people are putting the asterisk there is, yes, they go ahead and they beat these really bad teams, but when it comes to playing the Yankees, when it comes to playing the Astros, when it comes to a lesser extent playing the Seattle Mariners, they don't play at the same pace. They have losing records or 500 records and all of that. But now you have to kind of take a step back and look at it and say, well, which team do you feel better about? Do you feel better about the team that beats, you know, the bad teams just with absolute regularity and plays 500 or slightly worse against the good teams, or the Yankees, who apparently aren't going to be able to beat the Orioles and Rays and things like that? I mean, it's a valid question, because both of those things are a knock on those teams, right? I mean, it's a knock on the Red Sox that they can't beat the best teams, but I think it's a knock on the Yankees that they can't beat the worst teams.
Okay, so which one is worse, Marshall?
I think ultimately it's probably the Red Sox, because that's what's going to matter in October, beating the good teams.
See, and I agree with you. I do. And now look, the trick is this. that if the Yankees have to play the play-in game because they couldn't beat Baltimore, Toronto, and Tampa, if they have to play the play-in game and then lose it, oh, what a kick in the ass. I mean, what a way to go. But if they win the play-in game and then you're going head-to-head with New York, the Yankees scare me. I mean, I'm the Red Sox, and I look at the Yankees, and I say, I don't know if they can beat this team. So that one could go either way. But I'd rather be able to, I'd rather prove that I can beat the good teams. To me, that's a big deal. So, but again, to you as a fan, which one to you is more worrisome? 617-779-0985. Sam is in Plymouth. Sam, what do you got?
My friend subscribes to the theory that the Yankees play down to their opponents. I don't particularly believe in it, but I was just curious what you thought about it.
Well, why don't you believe in it, Sam?
I don't know. I just don't. I don't know.
Okay, well, yeah, that's not the answer I was looking for. In fact, it's not any answer whatsoever. I was hoping for some answer. Here's what I would tell you. I think it's true. I think the Yankees play down to their competition. And the reason I say that, and the reason I can believe that, is because the Yankees beat the good teams. So what it tells me is that the Yankees take their eye off the ball. They go up against the bad teams, and they sort of turn it off and shut it down. But they're not going to have that problem in October and in September, really, because the games are going to mean too much. So when it comes time to play, the Yankees will play. The Red Sox don't take their eye off the ball, but when they go up against the good teams, the really good teams, they have trouble coming through. And this is my big concern with the Red Sox. When you elevate the competition and you intensify the game and the moment, can they answer? Can they produce? Can they perform? Can they come through the way David Ortiz did for so many years? And I still don't know if they can. So we're off and running. We're going to get to a couple of other things here tonight in addition to your phone calls. One is we'll update you on the latest trade rumors. And then also, I want to give you my thoughts on Chris Sale, his season so far, and more importantly, what the Red Sox should do with him starting tonight. And I'll explain that. We'll do that a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, we will update you on trade rumors involving the Red Sox, which ones we like and which ones we don't like, which ones we believe in, which ones we don't. We'll do that next.
From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The baseball reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes. Heath Henry. Joe Kelly. And those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
Thornburg, Kelly, Henry, Barnes.
And today's gutless bum is...
High fly ball, that's deep. That one traveling way, way back there. And that's going to be off the monster. In comes Odor. Kiner Falefa in to score on a long double by Gallo. Texas is back in the game.
So the answer is Workman. Workman. Tonight's gutless bum is Brandon Workman, who gave up that hit to Gallo that made it a 6-4 game last night. Red Sox ended up winning, and you know what? It's really unfair to Workman. Because Jalen Beeks is the one who kind of lit the match, and then Workman inherited the fire, so to speak. But nonetheless, the Red Sox bullpen remains an area of concern, particularly against a good competition. And so, to me, this is an area in which the trade market is really, a news story with the Red Sox. Because to me, it's all about the bullpen. There are some other rumors out there. We'll try to touch on some of them here in this segment. And I'll tell you which ones I think are real, which ones I do, which ones I think are complete bullcrap. We'll do all of that. But first, let me take a call or two, and then we'll get to the trademark and some of the stuff out there with the Red Sox that's being written, and what I think is real and what is not. Let's start it off with Andrew, who's in Medford. Andrew, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, thanks for taking the call. So the morning show a few days ago had Carabas on, and I thought they asked him a good question. I'd like to ask you.
Andrew, I got to put you on hold because you're breaking up. Stay there. I'll try to come back to you. Tim's in Attleboro. Tim, what do you got?
How you doing, Tony?
Good.
Hey, I was just wondering, Mike was saying if J.D. Martinez, if he can hold it, keep going for the second half of the season. But, I mean, he needs like 12 home runs to hit 40. So I think it's been a good signing. But why do you think the Red Sox are looking at Manny Machado from Baltimore? Do you think they're just throwing it out there? Because what are they going to do with Devers? Maybe trade him for like a take the place of Joe Kelly? Because Joe Kelly doesn't really bring any confidence to us Red Sox fans.
Okay, so Tim, here's what I would tell you. Why are the Red Sox talking to the Orioles about Manny Machado? And my answer is, I don't think they really are. I think that one's bullcrap. I do. I think it's bullcrap. I think that Dan Duquette's probably trying to cut a deal with the Yankees for Manny Machado. And that what better way to get the Yankees to kick up the ante than to throw the Red Sox out there? That's what I think. I have no way to prove that, but that's what I believe. I believe that Duquette's kind of dinking around and that he's playing a game, so why not? It helps him to have as many big market suitors out there as possible for his player. I would be shocked if the Red Sox made any sort of significant trade from their major league roster, including Jackie Bradley. And when I say that, I mean, could they trade a bench guy? Could they trade Swihart? Of course. Yes. Absolutely, they could trade Swihart. But will they trade Bradley or Devers or, you know, maybe Eduardo Nunez they would move? But I don't expect that the Red Sox are going to trade any sort of significant piece from their everyday lineup to improve this year's team. You follow me, Marshall?
Yeah, and I think the question of what would you do with Rafael Devers if you acquired Manny Machado, I'm pretty sure the answer would be send him to the Orioles, because the Orioles aren't going to trade you Manny Machado for, you know, Brock Holt or whatever other sort of randos you've got down in Double-A at this point. It's going to have to be a big name, and that would probably be Devers, which is why, and you and I agree on this, the Red Sox aren't doing it.
Okay, so earlier in the year, and if it were Devers for Machado in Britain, I would do it. I don't think they will. Now, Britton is interesting to me. Britton's thrown 96 miles an hour again. He's nasty. He's left-handed. So are the Red Sox talking to the Orioles about Britton? I believe that that one is real. Another story out there concerns Wade Davis of the Colorado Rockies. And there was a story from somebody named Kevin Henry, who it looks like he might write for a blog or something, out in Colorado, that says that the Rockies have no interest in moving Wade Davis. Okay, now, Wade Davis, you remember, was with the Royals. He was with the Cubs. He signed a three-year, $52 million deal with the Rockies during the offseason. The Rockies made the playoffs last year. Right now, they're 4.5 out in the wild card race. I'd be surprised if the Rockies move Davis. I'd also be surprised if the Red Sox acquire him. And the reason I say that is the deal that Davis signed is huge. For a reliever, $17 million plus per year for 3 years. That's huge money. Okay, that's big money for a reliever. I don't think the Red Sox will fit that guy in under the luxury tax, and I think they want to stay there. I think the more likely scenario is that they go for someone like Raisel Iglesias from the Cincinnati Reds, and I might be mispronouncing the first name.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Or it's Raisel or whatever, but Iglesias, who's making $5 million a year, and is under team control for a couple of more years. That type of guy makes sense to me. So there's all types of relievers that have been thrown out there. You know, the kid, Fernando Rodney with the Twins, certainly I think that that is real. Kyle Barraclough, Bearclaw?
Yeah,
I think it's pronounced Bearclaw.
The Marlins.
Bearclaw. I think that that's real. To me, he doesn't do the trick. And I was encouraged by something I saw written by Jerry Krasnick of ESPN, that a major league evaluator said to Krasnick about the Red Sox, they're not just looking to get an eighth inning reliever. They're looking to get a guy, a real guy. And I would tell you that I am happy to hear this. And I've said this on this show, Marshall. The Red Sox should be looking for the successor to Craig Kimbrell, which is why I like the guy Iglesias in Cincinnati. Iglesias is a closer. He could come here. He could pitch the eighth inning for 2 months. Kimbrell goes, he becomes your closer next year. Because you're going to have to replace Kimbrell. They're not going to give Kimbrell $17 million a year over 5 years or whatever it's going to take. They're not going to do that. So they should be looking to trade for a closer now who is controllable and affordable that they can keep for a few years. And then if the guy can't handle it, you can still use him as a setup man at $5 million and it's not a gross overpayment. Okay, because incredibly, the Red Sox have money concerns if they want to stay under that luxury tax of $237 million. 237. Sean's in Hanover. Let's try him again. Sean, you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, do you think, I just want to touch on what you just said, do you think the Red Sox would be at all inclined, because it's not realistic, to keep Kimbrel, to go big, to go after Brad Hand, or I forget the Marlins closer, his name, because it's just, it would be going over, for a good reason, your future closer.
Okay, so you're saying going over the luxury tax threshold this year, would they do it to replace Kimbrel in the long term?
Yes.
Okay. So look, Sean, anything's possible. I told you, once you're the Red Sox and you invest what they've invested in this team, how do you all of a sudden stop short? How do you get to this stage and then say, well, now we have to back off? I mean, Pomeranz is up, Kimbrel's up, Joe Kelly's up at the end of the year. Who else am I leaving out? There's another one, I think, somewhere in there that I'm forgetting. Did I say Pomeranz?
You may have.
Pomeranz, Kimbrel, Kelly, those guys are all up at the end of the year. And then after next year, Chris Sale's up. David Price could potentially be up at the end of this year. And then next year, Porcello and Sale both.
Yep.
So you got a bunch of contracts coming up. Okay, you got a bunch coming up.
On the plus side, your chances
of winning a championship are this year and next, I think. Yeah. Go ahead, Marshall.
I was just going to say, on the plus side, it does give you financial flexibility. I mean, for instance, you know, Craig Kimbrel is making $18 million this year.
Right.
$18 million.
But so. Against a luxury tax, he only counts about 13, I think.
All right. But still, I mean, that's real money as well that gives you that opportunity to... It's not all lost, is what I'm saying. It's not like they're at whatever the number is, 237 now, and next year they need to replace it starting at 237. They're not there. Hanley's money is gone. You know, these guys who are actually leaving, their money is gone. So there is a little bit of hope, but it's still going to be very difficult, I think, to backfill all the pitching.
Yes. So look, and Marshall, remember that some of their guys are going to get raises because they're arbitration eligible. So Bogaerts is going to go up big. Betts is going to go up big. Betts' salary is going to double. Okay, his salary, he's going to get $20 million if he plays like this. I mean, I don't think there's any question. He's going to make a fortune. So some of the money of the guys on their current roster is going to go up because they don't have deals for next year yet. They're not free agents, but they don't have a salary for next year yet. 617-779-0985. I mentioned Chris Sale, who's pitching tonight against Bartolo Colon. I want to touch on him. And how the Red Sox should handle him here over the balance of the first half and really into the second half. Marshall, we'll get you caught up on headlines. I'll give you my plan for Chris Sale, and we'll take your calls when we come back.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox just about a half hour away from starting up their game against the Rangers, concluding the three-game series, and the Sox looking for not only a series sweep of the Texas Rangers, but a ninth win in a row. And they're sending Chris Sale in to the game, onto the mound in that effort. 9-4, 2.36, the stats for him. He'll go up against Bartolo Colon, who'll be providing the opposition. As an aside note, Colon, if he gets the win, no sure thing, of course, but if he did, it'll give him 246 for his career. Career wins, that would be one more than Dennis Martinez, with whom he's tied now for most wins of any Latin American in MLB history. The Sox lineup for tonight, going up against Colon: Betts, Benintendi, Martinez, Moreland, Bogaerts, Holt, Nunez. Sandy Leon is behind the plate with Jackie Bradley Jr. out in center field. And again, 7 o'clock, the first pitch time. The Red Sox today recalled Robbie Scott from AAA Pawtucket to make room on the 25-man roster. They optioned Jalen Beeks back down 95, back to Rhode Island. Danny Ainge, in speaking to the media today, saying that his priority in this offseason remains bringing Marcus Smart back to the team. He just said, that's where we are. World Cup final is set. Croatia scored late in regulation to tie their game against England, took the lead in extra time and held on to it. They'll move on to play France for the Cup on Sunday morning. This means England will take on Belgium in the consolation game. That one will be played on Saturday. The update is being brought to you by South Shore Banker and 1.75% annual percentage yield on a money market account when you open at a branch July 17th to 19th. Restrictions apply. I'm Marshall Hook of Boston's home for Sports 98.5, the Sports of your next update in about 30 minutes.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Like Alex said, there's no timetable. I mean, if I can't control how the human body heals. I would love to. I mean, I'd love to play right now. But that's not really, I can't, you know what I mean? So, you know, once everything heals permanently and we'll check that with MRIs and things like that, how I'm progressing. And once that happens and I maintain my strength and keep working hard at that, it shouldn't be long. So hopefully I just heal fast.
It's Dustin Pedroia heading out to rehab in Arizona, I believe, if I read that right. I looked at it quickly, but honestly, I'm not spending a lot of energy on Dustin Pedroia because I'm not sure you're going to see him again this year or maybe even beyond. We'll see how that one goes. And this relates to the Red Sox trade market because they have a number of things that they could use. I don't want to say need, because to me, the bullpen's a need. Like, they need another pitcher if they're going to win the World Series. They don't have enough. And if you think they need another bat, maybe you might be right. I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'd put the pitching first because I don't trust any of those guys in the eighth inning. But Pedroia, and I hate to say I told you so, but I told you this a year ago.
You don't really hate it.
Okay, I told you this a year ago. With the surgery he was having and the history of knee issues, when they said he'll be back in late May or June, I said, if you're lucky. You'll be lucky if he comes back at all. That microfracture surgery, and listen, I'm pulling for him like anyone else is. You hate to see a guy's career end because of injury. In the case of Pedroia, that might be what's going on here. The good news is he made plenty of money. He's going to make plenty more over the next couple of years or few years. I think it's two more after this one. It might even be three. Three more after this one, Billy Lanny tells me. So three more years. Okay, so Pedroia's got plenty of money. He'll be fine. But in terms of being able to play competitive baseball at a high level, he might be done. He might be. And so what the Red Sox are going to do now, and I don't think it's the wrong approach, they could use a second baseman, and they could use one in September or October. And so if the goal is now to get Pedroia healthy and hope that he can play in September, get his timing down, and then contribute in October, I'm all for it. They don't need him during the regular season. The league sucks. They're good. And they're going to, you know, at the current, if they play 500 the rest of the way, I did this math today, they will win, I think, 97 games. So, and that's if they play 500. If they play better than that, which they've done all year, they're going to win 110. Okay, so somewhere in between, what's the difference? They're going to be in the playoffs. They need Pedroia, which is, and I don't make second base a priority. They got Brandon Phillips in the minor leagues. They've still got Nunez, who sucks defensively, but worst case, you have him. You have Holt. Like, you've got Sue Lin down at Pawtucket or in the minors if you need him. And I'm not telling you that any of them is a great option or that he's as good as Dustin Pedroia on his best day. He's not. But you have bodies. In the bullpen, you don't have an eighth inning guy. And just quickly, some of the other relievers being out there, Kyle Bearclaw with the Marlins, no thanks. Zach Britton, I'm in. Jake, is it Diekman or Dykeman with the Rangers? I don't know, however you pronounce it, no thanks. Brad Hand with the Padres? Sure, yes, I'm in. Iglesias with the Reds, I'm in.
Keona Kila?
Who?
Keona Kila is the closer for the Rangers, right, in town right now. He's also available.
Okay, I don't know enough about him either. Soria with the White Sox? Joaquin Soria? No thanks. And then it gets into some second baseman, Brian Dozier, Scooter Jeanette. I don't think you're going to get those guys. Okay, so the Red Sox don't have a ton to deal. They have limited things to deal, and they have limited money they can take on. To me, it's going to be a reliever, probably a young one, from a bad team who they can control for a couple of years and uses their closer when Kimbrel's gone. Max is in a truck. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, Tony? Give me a minute. I got a question for you. Are you still picking the Yankees to win the division?
Yep.
Are you? And also, I think the Red Sox beating up on these bad teams like Baltimore and Tampa is going to benefit them at the end when they win the division. And also, I want Zach Britton. That guy is, his fastballs, he can throw like 98. And for an eighth inning guy, I think he would be perfect. And also, congratulations, Jimmy Stewart. You're an awesome guy, and you're going to be an awesome dad.
Okay, so Max,
Max,
thanks for the call. For those of you that didn't hear at the beginning of the show, Jimmy Stewart's been out the last couple of days, our producer, both the producer here on the Baseball Reporters and on the Felger and Mazz show. Jimmy's been out. He's going to continue to be out because he just became a father. So our congratulations to Jimmy and his wife, Randy. Their first child was born this morning at 10 o'clock. And hopefully everybody's doing fine. But our congratulations to him as Jimmy is now a parent. Tell me that's not scary, Billy. Jimmy in charge of someone else's well-being. How about that? Scary, right?
I think he's got it.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I have my doubts. I have my doubts.
He handles you and Felga pretty well.
But you know what? If I can handle it, like if I can actually pull it off, then Jimmy can probably do it. Then anybody can probably do it, being a parent. Again, 617-779-0985. We do have a couple of lines open if you want to check in. On Chris Sale, who pitches tonight against Bartolo Colon in one of the great matchups of contrasting body types in Major League history, the spindly lefty that is Chris Sale against the absolute butterball who is Bartolo Colon. This is Sale's final start of the first half. So, Marshall, let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
This whole idea of the Red Sox managing Chris Sale and, you know, preserving bullets so that Sale will be full throttle come September and October, are you buying in? Do you think it's working?
I mean, it's hard to say it's working because you won't be able to tell that till the end. But the fact that they're doing it and that Chris Sale, we presume, is letting it be done, I think indicates that everyone's on board with the idea, so they definitely think it'll work, which in the end at least acknowledges that what they did last year didn't work. So all of that's a roundabout way to say that, yes, I think it's going to work. We can't tell whether it's working, but if everyone's on board, then yeah, I think it's going to work.
Do you think they're doing enough?
Yeah, so far. We're not seeing the ridiculous coming out for an eighth inning just because you want a 10th strikeout or whatever all those things were last year. I think it's good. I mean, I know that your big test is when does he pitch on the other side of the All-Star break, and I don't think we know that answer yet.
But. Okay, so what I'm telling you is I don't think they're doing quite enough yet. They've done a good job to this point. I'm not taking away what they've done to now, but the All-Star break presents an opportunity unlike any other time of the year. So Sale will pitch tonight, which is a great break. It's the Wednesday before the break. It's the best possible game he can pitch going into the All-Star break. Because he will not pitch on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And if the Red Sox are smart, have they announced the pitchers for the All-Star game? I should know this.
I have not seen that, no.
Okay, so they haven't announced pitchers yet, right? That happens later in the week?
Yeah, we're still... It just goes to show you
how much I care about the All-Star game.
Next big announcement is the Vote Benny announcement tonight at 8 o'clock.
Okay, so the final vote gets announced tonight at 8. They haven't announced pitchers yet. Sale has to be a candidate, right? I mean, he's an obvious choice for the All-Star game. If the Red Sox are smart, they will come up with a stiff neck or a back spasm, something of the like for Sale this weekend so he doesn't have to pitch on Tuesday. He should not pitch during the break. Okay, so they pitch him tonight. He sits out the rest of the half. He doesn't pitch in the All-Star game. And then coming out, they start on Friday. He doesn't pitch in that first series out of the break either. I think they're playing Detroit. Then the second series is Baltimore. Pitch him the second game. He should pitch the fifth game out of the break. So he goes from Wednesday, today, the 11th, until the 24th, I think it is, without pitching in a game. Give him a nice, big rest here in the middle of the year. That's exactly what the Red Sox should do. Back to your calls, and Steve, who's in Carver. Steve, what do you got?
All right, Maz. Look, I'm going to admit, this is a minimal thing, but what the hell. We're in the middle of the dead sports calendar. I did not like Alex Cora's approach last night with Hector Velasquez. Let me say this. Velasquez, his numbers are amazing. And I understand, like, he's not as good as his numbers say. But this guy needs a legit chance. For him to only pitch three innings last night is a joke. What was that?
So,
I mean, it was a close game, too. And I know he wanted to go bullpenning, but give this kid a chance. Put him in the rotation and give him six, seven innings and see what he can do.
So, Steve, I think they like Velasquez. I don't think that was the reason. I just think that because he hadn't been stretched out in a while, they were going to limit the number of pitches he threw. And so they decided to spread it out, and effectively they treated it last night like the Tampa Bay Rays do when they have a bullpen game. So Velasquez, though, when he's been given the opportunity, has done a pretty good job overall, but I think he is what he is, which is an 11th or 12th guy on a staff, maybe a number five starter in a worst-case scenario, and you pick your spots with him. I think they've handled him pretty well. Jim's in Beverly. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, it's Dan. Tony, I keep hearing rumors about Fernando Rodney, and I've never been a big fan of that guy. He always has his hat to the side. He He doesn't. We always beat him up. What do you think about him? And I think, if I remember right, Dombrowski had him in Detroit, so maybe that's why he's going after him. But I think that's a bad idea to go pick up Fernando Rodney.
Okay, so Jim, honestly, it doesn't really matter how he wears his hat. I mean, CC Sabathia wears his hat a little off too, kind of askew. But he was a Cy Young Award winner. Do you care? So now, if you don't like the pitcher, that's a different thing entirely. And I don't like the pitcher either. They can do better than Fernando Rodney. If Fernando Rodney is the best they do, they're not going to win. Jeff's in New Hampshire. Jeff, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, Marshall, longtime listener. I really appreciate the show. I want to talk. I had a conversation earlier with a coworker of mine, and we were arguing about David Price and Rick Porcello and the effectiveness of both of those two pitchers. And I was saying that, you know, gun to my head, if I had to, I would pick Rick Porcello at this point as your number two starter going into the playoffs. And he said, no, you got to go with David Price. David Price is the ace. And he goes, don't bring money into it or anything like that. I feel like you can't look at it that way. You have to look at the facts. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, so Jeff, I'll do you one better. Not only would I pitch Porcello in game two, I'd pitch Eduardo Rodriguez in game three. Game four, we can talk about it later. I don't really care. I mean, at that stage, it's Steven Wright. It's Drew Pomeranz. Like, whoever the hell you want is fine. I'd put Price in the bullpen. For the postseason, that's what I would do. To me, that's the best plan. Porcello, right now, Rodriguez, game three, Price in the bullpen. Unless Price goes on some sort of run here in the second half that changes my mind, I think the Red Sox are better served David Price in the bullpen.